From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. Ahead, classical musicians reveal their YouTube browsing histories. First, though. A crowd gathered at Dallas Police Headquarters on South Lamar Street last night and marched under the bridge at Dealey Plaza and towards I-35 to block the highway. It was one of many protests around the country in response to a grand jury's decision not to indict Ferguson, Missouri police officer Darren Wilson in the August shooting death of 18-year-old Michael Brown. The Dallas activist said there's also work to be done here. Sarah Mercuria of Mothers Against Police Brutality helped organize the demonstration. She helped found the group after a Dallas police officer shot and killed 25-year-old Clinton Allen last March while responding to a disturbance call in Oak Cliff.
Officer Clark Stoller was put back on the streets days after killing Clinton Allen with his gun. It was through our efforts that his gun was taken away and he was put on desk duty. We say still that is not enough. We want to be in a space where officers don't get paid vacation for killing our community members.
John Fullingwinder, another co-founder and retired teacher, says he was there to celebrate the life and protest the death of Michael Brown and what he called the other Michael Browns in Dallas's history.
The complaint is against a pattern of unjust policing against black and brown people in Dallas and using the shootings, the police shootings, what they call officer-involved shootings, as a window into that unjust pattern of policing.
Tremise Andrews, media relations for the Dallas Police Department, confirmed that seven people were arrested and charged with obstructing the highway after requests were made to clear off. Most companies try to keep religion out of the office, so bringing in a workplace chaplain might seem like a strange thing for a major corporation to do, but companies across the country have hired thousands of chaplains to offer spiritual support to employees. Lauren Silverman spends time with one Dallas-based workplace chaplain.
Every Thursday, Chaplain John Eaton checks in on employees at Purdy McGuire, an engineering firm in Dallas.
Hey, Scott. How's it going, man?
Good
to see you.
Some weeks, the chats are about sports or church, sometimes about problems at home. Scott Brown, who's LDS Mormon, likes the check-ins.
A lot of times, you know, we're dealing with deadlines and stress and things like that, so it's nice to have somebody come in and just unload for a minute and, you know, get away from it.
You know, our job is a lot of it just to help them see that there's hope.
Eaton visits 30 companies every week. He works for Plano's Marketplace Ministries, the nation's largest provider of workplace chaplains. It sends thousands into high-rise cubicles and factories across the world, from Pilgrim's Pride to Burlington Santa Fe Railroad.
Some places, you know, they're more reserved, and it takes a long time to build credibility with the employees. I've had people brush me off for 3 years, and 3 years and a day goes by, they want to talk. We don't have an agenda. We're not here for ourselves. We're here for you.
Most workplace chaplains are Christian. Eaton is non-denominational and only offers his religious perspective if he's asked about it. Employees have his cell number and meet with him after work in a cafe or conference room for more privacy.
Call if you need something, okay?
All right, y'all take it easy.
You too.
Since Eaton is employed by a third party, everything that's not life-threatening is confidential from employers like CEO Diane Fletcher. She originally hired chaplains for her staff, but in 2011, the chaplains helped her to cope as well.
I called them and said, this is what's happening. We're going to have a layoff, and I would love to come to pray with y'all about it. And they asked if I wanted them to be on site the day that we had the layoff so that they could be supportive.
Fletcher says the chaplains perform weddings, funerals, and even help resolve conflicts between employees. The price she pays? About $10 per employee each month.
I would never cut this from my budget. You know, I would personally write a check myself to have the service for my employees because I see the difference that it makes.
The idea is not really a new one. It's just gaining a new resonance in corporate life.
David Miller with Princeton University's Faith and Work Initiative is writing a book on workplace chaplains. He says embedding missionaries goes back centuries to England and the Industrial Revolution and later to the U.S. military. So what's brought missionaries from the battlefield to the boardroom? The big change, Miller says, spirituality is back in style.
people may not necessarily identify themselves specifically with a denomination or a tradition, but there's a growing interest in spirituality.
And, of course, there's the financial return. The World Health Organization estimates stress costs American businesses $300 billion a year. If a chaplain can help keep anxiety at bay and workers on task, productivity goes up. Still, there are risks to mixing religion and work.
What signal are you sending to the employees? Is your business a house of worship or is it a house of work? And with chaplains running around, some people might feel a little awkward.
Awkward feelings aren't slowing down business. When Gil Strickland started Marketplace Ministries more than 40 years ago, he had trouble getting a single client. Now he has chaplains in more than 1,000 cities, and maps of China and South Korea hang on office walls.
We don't go there to proselyte or to use our religious faith to harass you or anybody else, no matter if you're Buddhist or Baptist.
Strickland, who's 80 years old, was an army chaplain for 2 decades. He's proud to have worn patrol caps, hard hats, and cowboy hats to work sites. No matter the industry, he says.
Everybody has a problem sometime because that's life.
And with a little support, he says it's possible work could become a place to de-stress. Lauren Silverman, KERA News.
YouTube marks 9.5 years this Saturday, as good a time as any to take inventory of cat videos and Korean pop. Bill Zeebel found some classical musicians who revealed their own guilty pleasures.
Opera singers Adam Lau and Nicole Carr have both used YouTube as a learning tool, catching techniques and timing tips from opera uploads. But the baritone and soprano who just finished a run with the Dallas Opera also love swooning over their singer heroes.
Oh my gosh. Oh, there's so many. I'm like a binge YouTuber. There's some Cesare Siepi recordings where it's just, I've got like a man crush on him. Sorry, honey. My girlfriend will kill me. His singing is incredible from top to bottom. The notes are just glorious.
Carr has a crush on a decades-old performance of Tosca by Leontine Price. This was the first video Carr watched on YouTube after she graduated from Melbourne University in Australia.
I learned that stillness in the body when singing was quite a good thing, because so often, you know, when they're on stage and moving around, you don't see them up close because when you're that young, you can't afford tickets that are close enough to see the singers and what they're doing. And so to see her filmed was pretty cool.
Dallas Symphony Orchestra co-concertmaster Alex Carr revels in those old clips, watching violin masters like David Oistrakh and Yasha Heifetz. He encourages his students to do the same, and gets frustrated when they complain they can't find good interpretations.
You have the internet. There are 15,000 performances of this piece by some of the greatest artists who have ever lived, and all you can watch is a cat video? I thought, this is insane. You know, it's such an incredible resource, and it's such a cheap resource.
Carr's 44. YouTube didn't exist until after he turned professional, but now he uses it every day, like many musicians he knows. There are some teachers who discourage it, though. When the Dallas Symphony's assistant conductor, Karina Kanalakis, was in Juilliard, her teacher insisted she stay away from it.
If you never do that, and if you never isolate yourself in that way, and you just constantly use this overabundance of information that's available on the internet, you will never be creating something yourself. You're just regurgitating what somebody else did.
Kanalakis says that was school. Now, she uses YouTube all the time for pleasure and business. Gone are the days of sending VHS tapes or a disc to a potential employer. Musicians just email a YouTube link. But the singers say that can be a problem.
Anyone can come into the theater on any given night, bootleg a recording. You might not be having your best night. They put it up on YouTube, and all of a sudden,
there
forever.
Even in competition, I've seen people with like their little camera phones and all of a sudden you find out you're
online. I have not
given
you permission for this. Why is this up here? Yeah.
Maybe that's when it's time to check out that cat video for a little comic relief. Bill Zeebel, KERA News.